Hello and welcome to Politically Enraged, the Lefty's Refuge. I just wanted to say thank you to everyone who's sticking with me throughout my podcast episodes. I've noticed that they're not being listened to as much, which is fine because people are allowed to listen to what they want to listen to. But I just wanted to explain, between a chronic illness, two jobs, and all of the buildings around me having the cladding removed, I'm basically unable to record podcasts as much as I want to. So I just wanted to say thank you for listening and sticking with me. If you do have anything that you want me to speak about, feel free to reach out on social media. I'm no longer using Twitter because Elon Musk is a cisgender Nancy boy. But if you do have me on any forms of social media and you want to reach out and ask me to speak about things, feel free. I would love to hear from people because I do like to speak to people who also are interested in the madness of British politics. Thanks very much. Hello and welcome to Politically Enraged, the Lefty's Refuge. This is quite an important podcast episode. I've tried to sit down in front of my phone to make a video about this about 1,000 times, and I've struggled every single time because there's so much to fit in that even in a 10-minute video, I'm really struggling. But I need to talk about the response I got to a video that I put out 2 weeks ago when I said that I won't vote for UK's Labour whilst they're endorsing transphobia. The response and the backlash I got to that video has really galled me. Now, a lot of people agreed with me on the fact that Labour's transphobia is bad, but that they still feel the need to vote for them. And here's the thing. I think people misinterpret me. I don't want to tell people what they should do with their vote because that's ultimately not what I am about. I don't want to do that anymore. It's certainly something that I did in the height of my political ignorance when I started to develop more of a like online platform. But it's just not helpful and conducive to tell people you have to do this. It's astute to lead people to conclusions and let them make their own mind up, but give your opinion. And that's all I want to do. I will say that my hope was that a lot of people would naturally pick up on what I was saying in that video and would hopefully make their own stand against Labour's transphobia. I've certainly had messages since of people saying, I do vote for Labour and I'm going to stand up to them. I won't vote for Labour because of it. I don't want people to make decisions as if I'm telling them what to do. I want people to make decisions based on the information I'm presenting to them. And I will not be held responsible for people deciding they won't vote for a political party that endorses transphobic talking points. I just won't. But there's a lot of talking points that have come out since that I'm tired of because, you know, you get the same like clutch of 30 comments every single day when you make a video talking about stuff like this. And I just want to go into some of the talking points I've received. So some of the first comments I got were that I'm enabling the Tories by doing this. Now, I need people to understand that in a political system as complex as ours, if you aren't voting for the Tories, there are still ways that you can help them indirectly. I absolutely agree with that. The problem is, when both main political parties that stand a chance of winning are endorsing Conservative talking points, then is it really helping the Tories to say that you won't vote for a different party who is still espousing transphobic talking points the same way that the current main political party who are Conservative are doing? It should be wholly uncontroversial for me to be able to say that Labour have moved to the right, or at least are perceived to have moved to the right. I will give you an example. There is an article that was written last week in the Financial Times by Robert Shrimsley, who is a right winger. So when he says Conservatives, he's saying Conservatives, not Conservatives. He wrote, on Brexit, immigration, tax, China, regional policy, trans rights, and even to a degree on net zero, Labour is on Conservative ground. Now, Shrimsley posits that the reason that Labour's moved this way is out of fear of the Conservatives. And on that, I disagree, because the fear of Conservatives is bedded rock deep in supporters of Labour and people who don't like the Conservatives, who are petrified that they will, through ways and means, manage to win another election. I understand that fear. The problem is that fear is being used as a driver by the Conservatives to still enact their agenda through another party. The Conservatives have objectively failed. They are a party without vision, they are a party without talent, they are a party without scope, and they're a party without decency. They are bad. But fear of the Conservatives is forcing people to back Conservative talking points because they're afraid that if they don't back those talking points, then the Conservatives will still win. Whether Labour actually means this like shift to the right that they've gone through or not is kind of immaterial. The problem is that political parties exist in a kind of vacuum. We've been suffering misery under the Tories. They have become extremely authoritarian, enacting laws that we don't want, taking away people's basic rights, making our lives much, much harder through not intervening in the cost of living crisis that they themselves exacerbated. They are bad. There is no denying that they are. The problem is that this spectre of fear that they cast because they're so bad means that because of the right-wing press, Labour cannot move against them in the way that you would hope an opposition would. This is not something that I don't understand. And ultimately, what Labour are doing at the moment is very, very clever, because when the right-wing press would want to come out against them, if they argue about policy, they can't do. What happens now is the Tories come out and say, here's red meat policy that you guys will want. And rather than Labour going, that policy is inhumane and disgusting and you shouldn't do it, Labour go, sounds like a decent policy. You guys can't do it though because you're not a good government. And that cuts the air off of right-wing talking points, because what Labour are saying is good policy, bad execution. And they can't argue with that without addressing the fact that they're a bad government. And that also works for the press, who can't argue against Labour because Labour are saying we do that too, just better because you guys are bad. And it's an absolute masterstroke in terms of strategy for being elected, because you're just stopping the argument before it starts. But a lot of people are very quick to deny that that comes with this unpleasant side effect of being directly aligned with right-wing policy and politics. I've just read you that list from the article. Whether Labour agree with that or not, it's perceived that they have right-wing stances on it right now. So I don't understand why a lot of us are castigated for taking Labour at their word. You can do this thing where you say, this is how politics works and they have to, you know, play jiggery pokery to get in. That I agree with. But if they're regularly endorsing right-wing politics, the danger is that it isn't a political gambit, that they mean those things, and that when they get into power, they're going to do those things. I don't know about you guys, but it's not just that I dislike right-wing politics because it seems indecent and uncaring about human beings. It's because we've had many, many, many years of conservatism in this country, and it's proven that conservatism doesn't work. How do I know? What's my evidence? Look at the world. To me, Starmer's strategy at the moment of adopting conservatism, and I think that, again, that should be uncontroversial to say, considering Starmer himself has said, if these policies sound conservative, then so be it. Starmer himself has said, we're the real conservatives. Whether he's endorsing it or not, he is perceived to. And there's this danger of, say, if I believe him and don't vote for him, but he doesn't mean it, then there's a problem there, because Labour were planning to do more progressive things than they were letting on, and I've let the side down, right? But Starmer's also said that he wants to be politically honest. So if he does mean these things he's saying and people vote for them, not believing that they're good policy, that's enabling a right-wing agenda that, again, has been set by the Conservatives. And people have the excuses. They can't go against the Conservatives because of the right-wing press. Well, the right-wing press isn't going to go away when Labour win. So are you still going to allow them to be cajoled by the right-wing press? It's a really difficult thing to thread, because I'm not necessarily saying that Labour are doing the wrong thing. What I said was, while Labour do transphobia, they don't get my vote. The natural conclusion of that is, if Labour don't do transphobia, they'll get my vote. And people can tell me that they're doing it to appease the right-wing press and to win these like magical flip voters who decide elections. But ultimately, the core is, if they are going to at least perceive to be adopting right-wing policies, all I can do is take them at their word. I don't know if they're playing a political gambit any more than you do. And you can believe that they're playing a political gambit. But if you're wrong, you've just voted for more conservatism with your whole chest. And you can be angry about it, but they told you what they were going to do. So you can't be angry, because you gave them the vote when that's what they said that they were going to do. What I perceive in the UK at the moment is that there's a ton of people who are leftier than they're coming across as, because they're backing a political party who are offering right-wing policy. And they're saying that it's a masterstroke, a gambit, a brilliant idea to vote for this right-wing policy because it appeases what we've currently got. But again, it's an agenda being set by the people who we don't like. It's a government being offered that's offering the same politics that's brought us this low. Offering more conservative politics to fix the damage of conservative politics is like chucking fire onto an already roaring fire. And the thing is, it's it's this kind of like, I don't want it to be nasty, but it's this perceived smugness of people who think you believe that they're going to do these things when they get into power. Oh, there's a game afoot. You just don't understand it. Neither do you. You're not privy to Labour's comms. You don't know what's going on behind closed doors. But my best educated guess is Labour keep throwing out policy to try and appease people who are like middle voters who swing one way and another on issues. And their key voter base are terrified of moving away from them, even when they put policies out that they don't like, because they don't want the Conservatives to win. And because Labour's key votership doesn't go up or down, they remain the same, regardless of the bad policy that they're offering. Labour are like, well, maybe this is what people want. And it's this awful cycle of they keep throwing out policy that people don't want. People refuse to move away from them because they're petrified the Conservatives will somehow worm their way back in. And Labour actually think that's what people want. And it's this cyclical problem that's just not going to get any better. And ultimately, I could be wrong. I have to say, you know, the coronavirus pandemic and Brexit and Donald Trump getting elected and years of conservatism here has dented my faith in people, because I thought that human beings were fairly decent. And yet we keep proving that's not the case. We keep proving that people do want the bad stuff, that people do like the bad stuff. But my faith, my hope, and my understanding, looking at statistics and looking at polling and listening to people and having people talk to me about their ideas, is that isn't the case. Of course, there are a lot of people that buy into it. As I said, it's like political Munchausens at this point. But when it comes to most people are fairly decent. They're just petrified of Conservatives because they've gone so far off the rails that even tradcons don't want to vote for the Conservatives. And along comes Starmer with a perceivably conservative offering, and they'll take that, reluctantly, because it's coming out of bloody Labour, but they'll take it. The other thing is that I constantly hear this argument of, you can't judge them till they're in power, you gotta wait till they're in power, and then you can judge them then. And as much as I understand that argument, as much as I get what people are trying to aim for, my question is, are you actually saying that it's carte blanche that you'll vote for them regardless of what they'll say they'll do? Because I get the point, but if a party's saying this is what we'll do and you don't take it seriously, what are you actually electing them on? And it gives me echoes of the Brexit campaign and when Leave would be like, we'll sit down over a cup of tea, it'll be really easy, we'll have better standards, we'll be able to set the agenda, we'll have all the power, all the cards. And it was such obvious nonsense, and they were asking people to take it on this just blind faith with no evidence. And it smacks of that. People coming to you and saying, I know Labour are saying the bad stuff. I know Labour have got a really bad record with things like equality, Brexit, trade, everything to do with the stuff that we care about. But you just have to have faith that they'll make it work. I don't really work that much on faith. I certainly do have beliefs when it comes to politics, but a religious person I'm not. So to ask me to take stuff on faith, to vote for people who are telling me the opposite of what I want to hear, with the hope that they're like going to magically come right when they're in power, it's a bridge too far for me. And I think that it's irresponsible of people to pretend that that's not the case, that it isn't irresponsible to say to people, you have to vote for them because there's no choice, because the other people are worse, but they'll actually be really good. You don't know. You are just operating on faith, and it might be a level of educated faith, but faith it still is. Now, the biggest problem that I always hear is, and this got thrown at me hundreds of times in comments, is people said, you have no choice. We have limited options in the UK. And that, funnily enough, that's the entire point. Trying to move a political party into a better stance prior to election is following the old adage of a stitch in time saves nine. If we move Labour into a more favourable position on equality, on Brexit, on China, on international relations, on the NHS, on education, now we know what it will be when they're in power. And it's less work, especially because our vote is what empowers them to do it. So if we vote for something, saying tacitly that we want it by voting for it, and then they get into power and they do the bad stuff, we can't blame them for doing the bad stuff because they said they would and we gave them the vote. So it's more effort. And when it comes to the trans equality stuff, the biggest problem is all of these people telling me we have to play a long game, we have to wait till they're in power, then we can change them. The danger is if they move into power with transphobic talking points, a transphobic viewpoint, there is every chance that they will enact policy that is damaging to transgender people. And then we have to undo that policy, we have to safeguard trans people in the interim, and we have to try and move the party away from transphobia. Just, it doesn't work. It's like I say, it's best to try and move these things now so we don't have to deal with them down the line. When it comes to policy, I can understand that that's a slightly different thing. If they're offering a really unfavourable policy around Brexit, like they are doing, because they're saying that they're just going to do minimal paperwork cleanup, that's something that we can expand on and we can form pressure groups over. But just this kind of overall malevolence towards trans people, that's going to form a lot of how they move forward in terms of equality in general, in terms of a broader perception of bodily autonomy, because I'm also worried that an anti-trans stance is intrinsically an anti-choice, an anti-bodily autonomy stance, because it's about limiting the controls on other people's body and choices. That can spill out into wider problems. So there's a lot of reasons why I feel the way that I feel. The real concern that I have is that we exist in this problematic time period where we really do only have limited options. So I understand why people are afraid to upset the apple cart. But when all of the apples are going rotten, there has to come a point where you decide, is it time to flip the apple cart anyway? And I'm certainly not saying that Labour needs to hemorrhage voters and completely change as a party, because God knows what that would do. Maybe we would lose the next election, the Tories would stay in, and they would consolidate their grip on power forevermore. But we still have, perceivably, almost a year of them at least. So we still face that opportunity for them to flip and be completely authoritarian anyway. I think the bigger problem that we're not acknowledging is what a lacklustre government coming in after the Conservatives will do. The Conservatives are objectively a bad government. They're bad. They're just bad. They're bad at policy. They're bad at speaking. They're bad at honesty. They're bad at actually enacting things in general. And some of it's that they're bad by design. They're basically just trying to line their pockets because they're dishonest and bad people. Some of it, though, is very much that the Conservatives don't know what to do. They have no vision. And so they've completely decimated the country in terms of infrastructure, in terms of transport, in terms of education, in terms of policy that they want to offer us about immigration, about trans people, about Brexit. All of these things are problematic. So whoever comes in afterwards is going to have a huge job. And if we don't have a government who's offering definitive, positive stances on issues now, they're not going to do the stuff that we need when they're in power, unless they really are hiding their hand. I will say, just as an aside, that it's completely anti-democratic to pretend to hold a different position to gain power, only to flip it. And even if you don't like right-wingers, it's pretty grim to pretend to run on a right-wing platform just to flip at the end and be like, well, this is what the majority of the country wanted, but we've decided that we would pretend and then enact our own agenda. That's anti-democratic in the fundamental. But I don't think that's what Labour's doing. I think that Labour do mean what they're saying, and I think that it's because they're held in thrall to the Conservatives, partly by their own voter base who won't move away from them even though they're offering stuff they don't want, and partly because they're just that focused on power that they'll say anything to get into power. That's not a party that you should be able to trust, because Keir Starmer's actually said, I'll do whatever it takes to get into power, including breaking pledges, which is a problem. How can you hold someone to scrutiny if they're not being honest with you, if they tell you that they will lie to you? And that's the concern. I understand where people are coming from, but on the one hand, you can't run and say, I want honesty back in politics, and then run and say, I will lie to you in order to attain power. It's a contradictory message. And there's nothing wrong with picking this up and picking it apart. And that wasn't even what disenfranchised my vote from Labour. The problem is that there is this broad issue in the UK where we are welded to conservative politics, and the fact that Labour are offering conservative politics as an antidote to conservatism is just going to lead us to further problems down the line. If they get in, they enact more conservative politics, we've seen conservative politics don't work, a lacklustre 5 years, some problems addressed, some problems fixed, some problems band-aided, and then what? A bunch of people who aren't happy because the country hasn't magically improved under the wonderful Labour that they were promised, and so they swing back to the Conservatives who have a facelift and sweep back in and then do what they were going to say in the first place. There needs to be a radical shift. not just this continuation, not just the promise of continuation, but there needs to be a radical shift. And one of the first articles I ever wrote for the actual press, for Byline Times, was about aspiration politics. It was about offering better, brighter, more, and not just going with the barest common denominator, not just going with the, well, we won't repeal those policies, but we'll improve them, because the policy that's in place is bad. Ultimately, it would be a fool's errand for Labour to come out and say, we'll repeal this and we'll change that and we'll undo what the Tories have done. They do need to just focus on trying to get into power, but it doesn't mean that they can't be honest with us about what that will look like, because otherwise we're just voting in the dark. And the amount of people who are telling you to vote in the dark, happily, because at least it's not the Tories, are telling you that they don't know what's coming next. They're telling you, yeah, well, Labour might not be great, but they're definitely better than the Tories. And it's as I've always said, or I've said for a while now at least, at the bottom of the barrel is the Tories. Then slightly above them is Labour. And all the way at the very top of the barrel is good governance. And rather than aspiring to that, reaching for that, forcing our political parties to aim for that and offer us better politics, everyone's just happy with the barest scintilla of change that won't actually lead to the long-term benefit of the nation. I so understand why people keep continuously telling me, you just need to put up and shut up, you need to deal with Labour in whatever form it's in because the Conservatives are terrible and it's an absolutely dire situation, because it is an absolutely dire situation. It doesn't mean that we can't hold Labour to any form of account, carte blanche, until they're in power, because if we do that, we are guilty of enabling them to do the bad things that they're saying that they will do, and even of letting them do bad things that they haven't said that they will do. There's a lack of clarity in British politics right now, and there's a huge concern about that. And I understand about the right-wing press, and I understand about FPTP, but it doesn't mean that we should all stumble around hoping for the best and not being offered it. It just doesn't. And if that's the kind of politics that people are fighting for, this obfuscated, hide-your-hand nonsense, all I can say is, I have no idea where we're going to go to. We have to be offered something decent and concrete. And the problem is, you run the risk of voting for a party who is lying through their teeth and hasn't told you what they're going to do, so you have no idea what you're voting for. Or voting for a party that's telling you the truth, and it's a truth you don't like, but you'll vote for it happily. There has to be some kind of middle ground that we can meet at here, but I just don't feel like it's possible. The problem is, the level of disingenuousness I was met with when I said that I wouldn't vote for Labour whilst they were being transphobic, it's a natural conclusion that I said, transphobia is my red line, so if that goes away, I'll vote for them again, even with the fact that I'm unhappy with them. But the longer this goes on, the more concerned I get. I just don't know what formative changes we're being offered that means that we'll move out of this dark period under Labour. And it's all well and good people saying, caretaker government, politics is a long game. I understand all of this. It doesn't mean I don't want the answers. Don't give me the Rishi Sunak hold your nerve bullshit. Don't do it. It doesn't work for me. We should be able to understand where we are now and where we're going to go based on what people are telling us. And if Labour continue on with the Tory thing of obfuscating what the actual end goal is, how are we to know to vote for it? We don't. Ultimately, I never wanted to fall out with people who still want to back Labour, regardless of anything, because I get it. I get your compulsion. I get your need for a different government. But the problem is, right-wing politics to me seems intrinsically aligned with what about me? Whereas left-wing politics, especially kind of centre-left to slightly more radical politics, seems aligned with what about all of us or what about them? And the amount of people who seem to be warping their politics to fit the what about me part is crazy. Of course I care about the everyday people, the people who are going to suffer economically under the Tories. Of course I do. That's a given that I shouldn't even have to mention. But the fact that people are willing to pare away the safety of minorities in order to attain power is a concern to me as a minority. And the fact that people just won't listen to me on that is deeply depressing and frankly concerning. I don't know what the solution is. Ultimately, the thing I need people to understand is I'm not here on the internet taking time to read stories and look at what's happening and repeat it in my own words to try and make you do something with your vote. I'm tired of doing that. I'm just here to say it as I see it. And for people to tell me that I'm seeing it wrong when I'm using my own eyes is crazy. If you think that I'm incorrect, I'm happy to have a respectful discussion about that. But there is no respectful discussion in, you just have to do what I say and hope that I'm right. It isn't correct. And the people that are saying that are trying to shut down a vital discussion about, what if I'm right? What if Labour are offering right-wing policy, not just to bamboozle the press and get on board a bunch of disenfranchised Conservative voters, but because that's what they're going to do for 5 years, for 10 years? What if we have another Conservative government, just with a different name on it? I'm so tired of hearing Tories in red ties, because I used to think you could have different politics than Conservatives and still be a bad politician. But it's not like I'm making it up when the actual leader of the Labour Party himself has said, this is conservatism, has said, we are the real Conservatives. Conservative politics are why we're in the cul-de-sac that we're in financially, economically, educationally, why we've been radicalised into our little corners. I don't want more conservatism. I don't care whose mouth it comes out of. So my question is, and I want people to think about this honestly, what if that's what they're offering? How do we get away from it? That was all my point was. And ultimately, I'm not here to continually try and appeal to people as a popular person that talks about politics on the internet. It feels gross and wrong that that's where I've ended up, because I just don't think that I'm politically astute enough to be that. I'm not here to proselytize to you about what you should do, what you should think. I'm just here to say things as I see it and sometimes be listened to, as I think everybody should. And standing up for a minority who is under absolute threat under both iterations of the government that's on offer at the moment, that's just a moral obligation that I feel I have to uptake. The irony is, you know, I got a lot of trans people commenting on that video saying I'm still going to vote for Labour. And I was like, good, that's fine. You do you, boo. It's just exhausting that people will not listen to the potential that what Labour's offering isn't markedly good enough for us to see a real improvement in our lives. I understand that stopping the Conservatives is going to stem the corruption that's bleeding out of Westminster, and that's a net win. But there is a larger problem at hand. And if you want to laser focus on just getting the Tories out, then do so. But don't pretend that there isn't validity in the larger argument behind the scenes of, what if Labour aren't much better? Thanks for tuning in to Politically Enraged, and I hope you enjoyed the episode. If you do have any suggestions for any future topics, feel free to reach out to me. And if I'm interested, then maybe we'll discuss. I hope that you enjoyed and learned something. And remember, stay politically enraged and get politically engaged. Thanks.